2 Peter, chapter 1, if we could turn there and have it on the big screen. New King James is the translation. I'd like to touch two things as a quick review before I get into today's message concerning the events of this week. As Amy mentioned, and all most of us know, Pastor Saeed, how do we say his last name?
Abedini.
Was released from Iranian prison yesterday after over 3.5 years in prison, many, many times tortured, beaten. He's a pastor out of Idaho, and we've actually, where's Carrie? She had a heart for this, to contact Pastor Saeed's wife. And this was about a year ago, a year and a half ago, and we were working at getting Nagme. That's close enough, guys. It's his wife. And so, you know, we'd still like to have Pastor Saeed. How many of you would like to have Pastor Saeed and Nagme come speak at the church? And so he has been a martyr for the last 3.5 years. Our brother, for the cause of Christ, he'd gone back to Iran to build a, are you ready for this? A state-run orphanage. He went back to help, and they arrested him. So it was just very unjust, obviously. And many, many prayers, we have been praying and not letting go of those prayers. But I remember last Sunday being so sad. At some point during the worship service, I had this overwhelming sorrow come over me in the midst of worship for Pastor Saeed and his family and his children. And it's like, and I said, how long, oh Lord, how long? And I know many of you were praying for Pastor Saeed. And, you know, they broke ribs and he was deathly ill numerous times. They threatened his parents with death. You know, listen, guys, there is such hatred in the earth. And so much of that part of the world is consumed with hate. It's consumed with hate. And yet we've seen even some precious Muslim people that we've had the opportunity to meet and begin ministering to, they're Muslims. They believe in Allah and Muhammad and all that. And, you know, after a period of time, we know this firsthand as they share this with another Persian person who is a Christian. They said, we have never known this kind of love. What is it? It's Christian love. It's the love of Jesus Christ shed abroad in our hearts. And it's greater than the hate that's in this world. Amen? Which brings me to my second point, Dr. Martin Luther King. One of the great men of God. And, you know, when I think about her, I am 58 years old. And he was assassinated at 38 or 39, I believe, before he turned 40. And what he accomplished in that short life is so great. And I'm thinking, oh, God, if I could accomplish what even a portion of what Dr. Martin Luther King did. We honor him because he was a martyr unto death for the cause of Christ. This country that has had such an outpouring of the grace of God, how we could ever be divided by something as ridiculous as racism when the goodness of God had overwhelmed this country. And yet all through America, now we have 330 million Americans. And I don't know what the percentage of born-again Christians are, but there lies in this country a great darkness. And the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. That was prophesied about Jesus coming into the Galilee area and his ministry. Well, I want to tell you, we have a ministry. We have to be the light of the world, and we have to go into these dark places and shine the love of Jesus Christ to this world, as Dr. King did this. And, you know, there's a lot of, guys, a lot of anger in America right now. Racism is starting to speed up again. And Jesus said, know this, one of the signs of the coming of Christ, Jesus said, race will rise up against race. Now, when there's a feeling in you that of superiority of yourself or of anger toward another race, you better slam that to the ground and put the blood of Jesus on that and repent of that right now. Because God made all the races. He made all the races. And it was good to God. God thought it was good. Okay? So we need to honor and respect that which is from God. Amen? That's why you will never hear us at the river ever say we're colorblind. And in a way, I can understand that. I fully understand what people who say that are trying to say. They're not going to judge based on color. But what do you say we go something better than that? What do you say we celebrate color? We celebrate the cultures. We're not afraid of them. God gave them to us. Amen? And so let's celebrate the races. Let's see what God has done in those. Now, when those cultures come to the cross of Christ, and there's a verse for that. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God, of Christ. Those cultures are going to bring their like the Native Americans did in our church one day. They came and brought the pole with all the generations and their history on that tribe's history, on that pole, represented on that pole. And they came in their regalia is what it's called. And they came in with the song that we all know watching Westerns. Hey, you know, and I'm watching. And that whole tribe came in, brought their cross. The chief came and brought the pole and laid it on the cross. And they bowed their knee and began to praise the Lord. You know, I didn't think I was superior to the Native Americans. Because they came in with, hey, they were beautiful in the song and the dress. And then they laid that pole on the cross, bowed down to the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus, your Lord of the Native Americans. Will you represent your race and bring your race to the cross of Christ? Because the coat of many colors Jesus is wearing today. He wears all the races. We're the body, fitly framed, made up of all the races. Dr. Martin Luther King died under a racist bullet. But that work of grace that was in his life, that was so needed for America, I will never forget. I was a kid in the 60s. And I know the racism in Terre Haute, Indiana. Terre Haute, Indiana, our best friend we grew up with from first grade till sixth grade, till racism destroyed that friendship. Luther Taylor grew up. One weekend he'd be with my twin brother and I on the farm. The next week we'd be in the projects is what it was called. And we were like this. And I remember the day that we went to get our hair cut. And Mark and I brought Luther with us. And we went in and we're giggling and, you know, 10-year-old boys. And that barber butchered my twin brother and I. Gave us the most horrible haircut you ever saw. So much so that my dad, when he picked us up and saw what our heads looked like, knew what had happened, walked into that barber shop, and that barber peed his pants under what my dad was going to do to him if he did not apologize to all three of us. And you never saw a man 50 years old ever apologize to three 10-year-old boys like that guy did. And so there's ugly things in the earth. Psalm says there are dark haunts of evil, many different hauntings. It says, New King James uses words hauntings of the devil. Will you be the light where you are and shine it with the love of Jesus Christ? We have to be. We have to be that light. No, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Right now, there's so much, and the media is pushing this too. Guys, I'm telling you, remember the words of Dr. Martin Luther King. It's in your bulletin. He said, may we be Christians in every activity. Remember that. In every activity. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, we just pray for America right now. That she would repent of her sins, Lord, and the church would repent of its sins and its inactivity, its idleness, Lord, its inertia. And Lord, that it would come to an understanding of her place as bringing Jesus Christ to the earth, as King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, may we be bold and valiant ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. And of the kingdom of our God. And Lord, may we not be reduced to, Lord, the old creation, Adamic nature, failure, and draw back from people, and draw back into prejudice, and draw back into ignorance, and draw back into safety. But may we stretch forth your love to a lost and dying world, especially here in America. And may we shine brightly. What does the Lord tell us in Acts and in Philippians 2? It says that God says to shine as bright lights in the midst of what? A crooked and perverse generation. We have to shine. We have to shine. Stand on your feet, everybody. Stand on your feet and tell the Lord you're going to shine. You're not going to be overcome with evil. You're not going to be overcome with the past. Some of you have experienced racism. And you could be overcome by that. But you're overcoming it with the love of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God. Your responsibility to be the body of Christ. The body of Christ has no blemishes. Look at your life and say, if there's an area of fear or anger toward the races, Lord Jesus, I put that under the blood right now. I cast it down from my life. I am a lover of men. I will love all men. I'm in debt to all men. Aren't you glad that a Jew heard the Holy Ghost to go talk to an Ethiopian about Jesus? In a desert place. What can the Holy Ghost do with you? The Lord says, you're my banner. You're my signal. I'm lifting you up, River Family, to go forth and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, my Son. To proclaim the goodness of my God. To go forth and open your mouth and reach those of all races and all creeds and all backgrounds and all religions. You're my mouthpiece. And so I'm sending you as ambassadors. I'm sending you as ministers of reconciliation. And I charge you today, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You are born again, washed in the blood, redeemed from this dark world. That same spirit that it says works now in the children of disobedience, that prince of the power of the air, Lucifer, Satan, the dragon, the murderer, and the liar is the one who's putting racism out there. You put it out with love. You put it out with love. And if you are persecuted by a race, count it a badge of honor. If you are persecuted and by in the preaching of the gospel, Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. They persecuted Jesus. They persecuted Stephen. They persecuted the early church. The Christians were slandered and lied about that they burned Rome. Two-thirds of Rome at Nero's time burned to the ground. And for 2 weeks, Rome did not see darkness because of the bodies of Christians that were nailed to crosses and then torched. Being a Christian in this hour could just have some pain with it. But the sufferings of this present time are nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory that is to be poured out on you and me. This is not a time. As we're going to get into this, probably we don't have much time left today. But we're going to get into 2 Peter, adding to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. Affection for brothers and agape love. But virtue. Everybody say virtue. It's the word excellence. It means valor too. You guys know what we named our men's ministry, Valor of Men. The men's ministry is called Valor. What does valor mean? It's one of the great words that if you could ever have that word said about you, you are a man or woman of valor, then you are changing your world. If the Lord tarries and we all die in here after a long, fruitful life in serving Jesus, may it say on the epitaph on our tomb, this man or woman was a man or woman of valor. It means courage in the face of danger. It means that you represented the best of man, of best of redeemed mankind, that you brought Christ into the battlefield. And that when all fled around you, you positioned yourself in the middle and you defended the kingdom of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You did not let go of the position that you have as a redeemed man or woman of God. That when all circumstance, when hell was breathing its fire on you, you kept the shield of faith firm, quenching the fiery darts and flaming missiles. You did not step back in confusion. You did not step back in weariness. You did not step back in unforgiveness and anger and frustration. Well, this person's doing that. You did not let your mouth begin to talk you out of your victory. You did not let your mouth talk you out of being a witness for Christ. You were able to shut your mouth to the fear. And you opened it to the praises of God. The other day, I wondered how Polycarp, wave your hand if you know who Polycarp is, church father. He was burned at the stake. Well, attempted to be burned at the stake by one of the Caesars, about 186 BC or AD, I think. And while they have the faggot, they were called faggots. The wood and the dried timber that they had around him, they had him tied to a pole. And he said, you don't need to tie me to this pole. I'm not going anywhere. And they lit, with Caesar watching, they lit the fire. Polycarp, one of the early church fathers, Bishop Smyrna, I'm not for sure which one. That flame lit those faggots so fast. But they built an ark around his body. Now, those flames never touched him. And he said, dinner will be bitter, but oh, breakfast is going to be sweet. Because when he closes his eyes as a martyr, he's going to wake him up in heaven. He's going to wake up in heaven as the champion. And Jesus is going to receive him right there. The flames, they couldn't get the flames to touch his body. So Caesar ordered a soldier to spear him. And as he speared Polycarp, there was such a massive flow of blood that rushed out quickly, it extinguished the fire. How many people do you think with any sense came to Christ at that moment around that? Do you think that that was a bold witness for Christ? Another martyr, I forget his name now, he was a pastor in one of the German provinces there. And they, because he was preaching the gospel, they tied weights to him and they threw him in the river. And the whole town had come out to watch his death. And he floated with these big, heavy weights on him. For 30 minutes, he floated on the river back and forth right there and preached the gospel. And preached the gospel. And preached the gospel. Preached the gospel. With these big, heavy blocks on him, chained to him. And he yelled his final words, if you have any sense, come to Christ. And now, Father, I have preached your word. Your servant is ready to go home. And at that, he sunk. Sometimes you won't be delivered from a situation. Jesus told those in Revelations, there was a church, one of the churches, he said, Satan is going to throw some of you into prison. Be faithful unto death. And you will receive the crown of life. Man, those are powerful words. When Christians were being martyred and burned at the stake themselves and on the pole and burned alive, whole families, they had determined to give signals to those that were in the audience and those if they had any pain. And that they would lift their hands in praise. as they were being consumed by the fire, and there was no pain. Many times the testimonies that the saints were literally being consumed by the fire, and they were praising God. No pain. No pain. The grace of God will match anything. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. River, churches are known for a lot of things. Okay? You go down the street, every church has a personality. Every church has a personality. They have a culture. They have a... You know what we want in this? Benjamin was the smallest of all the tribes, but they're the most fierce. They were the greatest of all the warriors. I want to be men and women of valor. That we are, walk out into the battlefield like David. Is there not a cause? And that we go out with Jesus at the head of our army. That you live your life knowing that you and Jesus together are taking your stand in the field and defending it. The Lord's coming back real soon. Are you ready for Him? Have you overcome? Jesus, to the letters to the seven churches, Jesus said, to those that overcome will I grant. Not everybody. Not everybody will be overcomers. Jesus said, to those who overcome. So I want to say to you today, River family, this is Peter called it the last days. And he said in 1 Peter 4:7, he said, these are the last days, therefore be serious or sober in your alert mind. Love passionately and intensely. The Amplified says, love with intensity, intense love and passion. Now, if you're like me, this week I was, again, as we're in this prayer and fasting, I'm repenting of a hard and cold heart. I wish that I could say that my heart was aflame for Christ all the time and this world. But the old man and the comforts and the fears and the stresses, it can just get you to where you're operating, going through the motions. I don't want to go through the motions. I want to pulsate with eternal life.
Come on.
And so as I was thinking about Pastor Saeed, there, and I was riding my bike, and I just thought, what would happen to me if I was taken by people I don't like? Because in the natural, I don't like those people. I think they're incredibly ignorant to hate people based upon what Muhammad said. And I have said this and had to repent of it. I am never interested in going over there. I feel that way. In the natural, I felt that way. Over the last 2 years, God's changed my heart. Especially that God brought Muslims to me this year. And when I saw that they were just like Amy and I, in need of a Savior, and they didn't have a Savior, my heart began to cry out, not just for their salvation, for the wretchedness of my soul, that in some way I wouldn't feel for them what I should as a man of God and as a Christian. And I said, Lord, what would happen to me if I was taken by those that I, in the natural, I don't respect that. And they began to abuse me. Would I be able to bring your love to them in spite of that? Would I overcome their evil and ignorance with your love? And I just, Lord, I lifted my hands. I said, Lord, in a fire, would I be able to lift my hands like this, praising you that you allowed me to be a witness to a people that sat in darkness? Because when I really allow the mind of Christ, guys, the grace of God came to me in my ignorance, in my darkness, in my sin, in my pride, and saved my soul and gave me eternal life. How do we not love the unlovely? How do we not go and reach the unreached? How do we sit where we are? And certainly, how do we allow racism, something as rank and vile, and as filthy as racism, cause us to draw back and not be the light that Jesus purchased for us? The highest authority in the land in 18 Amy, what was it, 56, 59? The Dred Scott decision. How many of you know what the Dred Scott decision? The Supreme Court, just as they've done with abortion and homosexual marriage, couldn't have gotten it more wrong, called the black man in this country two-thirds of a person. Come on, how dumb and dark are we? The highest minds and supposed to give justice could fall into that darkness. Is that amazing? Is that not a shameful and embarrassing that our country ever thought? And so there's been a lot of things. And I'm telling you, if you don't put on the love of Christ, you will be overcome with what's coming on this earth. And churches will draw back to being white, black, brown, yellow, all the races. And instead of the church coming together in strength and receiving the strength of all the races, the devil will win. If you don't dress and put on, adding to your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, self-control, and self-control, godliness. How many of you want godliness? Godliness means godlikeness. The church can't be racist and afraid of racism. It has to be like God, like Christ. How many of you can reach out? Reach out to someone from another race and love them this week. Do you know someone that you could reach out and show the love of Christ? You could do it like this. Hey, you know what? I just want to call you and tell you, man, there's a lot of stuff happening in the earth today, but I'm thankful for you. Can we pray for the love of Christ to go forth? That's if it's a Christian person. But show love. Amy, can we show love? Gosh, there's so many Jewish people who don't feel loved. It's just the devil has really hit people hard with racism. I want everyone, can we come to the altar right now? Team, would you get back up? We're going to pray at this altar for America, for the church. Come, leave your seats right now. Emily and the team, come on up. Thank you, Lord. Guys, let's try and get a little tighter. Just come on up. All the way up. Precious John. Love you, Cindy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. River, you know, this morning's service went a different direction. We'll get into 2 Peter and these points next week. But Jesus is counting on us to be his body. Sacrifice and offering, thou would not, but a body thou hast prepared. As it is written in the volume of the book, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And so, as we stand this morning at this altar, the takeaway for you is that you're going to take away out of this building a renewed commitment to overcome evil everywhere. That you're not going to be suppressed and silent. You're going to be in love, fervent love. You're going to leave here knowing the love of Christ found you and that you're going out into this world to be in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. Jesus calls us his light, his lights. Zechariah says, you shall be known as flaming torches. That's what it says. You shall be known as flaming torches among the sheaves. You know, I hate that song, "Let This Little Light of Mine Shine." Because what do you picture? Somebody very feeble holding a teeny light. Let it shine. Now that might be in reality all you got at this altar today, a little teeny ember. Jesus is going to blow on it. And he's saying, because Jesus calls those things that be not as though they are, you're a flaming torch. You're a flaming torch among the sheaves. Jesus never said, you're a little light. He called you a flaming torch. So, Father, today at this altar, Lord, we consecrate ourselves for the work of the ministry. We consecrate ourselves, Heavenly Father, to be your body, to shine with love. And we can't make it up. You've got to baptize this church afresh in your love. Lord, may every one of us be consumed with love, consumed with the love of God, that we would feel deeply your love. That your love would drive out of us all complacency, all excuse making. Everybody say excuse making. No more excuses. Everywhere I go, everyone, everywhere, John 3:16. Say that with me. Everyone, everywhere, John 3:16. Lord, baptize the River Family Church in your love. Baptize us in your power. Baptize us. Make us witnesses. But you shall receive the Holy Ghost. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of this earth. Say this prayer with me. Jesus, I present myself this morning to you at this altar. All that I am, all that I have, I give to you. You are Lord of my life. I surrender all. I give you all. I decrease. I'm asking you to increase in my life. Let there be great grace. Great grace in my life and my family. Shed abroad in my heart your love. Thank you right now that I am filled with joy and the Holy Spirit and love and faith to go forth and shine brightly for you. I am a flaming torch amidst the sheaves in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. So, guys, just for a moment, what if the Lord Jesus came right now while we're at this altar? Would any of us remember the pain of last year or the frustrations? Do you think it would be swallowed up with the almightiness and the glory and the greatness? I'm going to give you two verses. 2 Thessalonians and 1 Peter 5 says that you've been called to share in the glory of Jesus. 1 Peter says you've been called to the glory. So this year, everything beneath the glory that's eating at you, throw it down. Throw it down. The glory of God is the greatest thing. Forever and ever to be clothed in that glory. To walk in it, to share it, to move in it. We're a little awkward right now, aren't we? Learning the Christ-like life. At times we stumble. And then the devil condemns you and you draw back and you stay as you are. For 5 years, an event will make them stay the way they are. Or they hold and nurse something and poison, like those sprinklers, Jim. What do you call the little drip system? You know, just constant drip of poison. Of holding a grudge or a little nitpicking thing. And it poisons your walk. And there's no strength in your hands. Okay, Amy, what's the Lord saying to you? Rise and shine.
Shine forth.
darkness and gross darkness in the world, but the glory of God upon you will be seen upon you. Kings will come to the brightness of your rising. That's not Jesus rising. That's spoken to us, to the brightness of our rising. Rocco and Mary, we're rising. Oh, we're rising up as born again God men, new creation people, fully able to walk with God. This year, church, we can have the fullness of God living in us. Ephesians 3:19, that you would have the fullness of God manifesting in you. While we're at this altar, the Lord, I have a picture of the Lord. He's a gardener, a husbandman, and he's walking up and down, and he's got pruners. Is that amazing? And while you, if you could do this with me, just as we have dedicated our life, say, Lord, take away the runners, the suckers, those branches that are not able to produce fruit. They're called runners or suckers. Broker, you've done a lot of pruning. How many of you done some pruning? Jim, you landscaper. Jonah, you know, if you're going to have a garden or something that looks good, it must be pruned. And so Jesus, I see him, he's got pruners, and he's snipping off your runners and the suckers and the fruit stealers in your life. Isn't this wonderful right now at this altar? How many of you are serious with God at this altar? You're serious with God. You're saying, God, I want to be... live unto the praise of your glorious grace. How many of you would like a new mind in 2016 that can grasp? How many of you said, this is for somebody, don't lift your hand for this, but you say, I have a dull mind. My mind is dull. I'm not getting it. I want to be able to, okay, here's your promise. You're getting an illuminated mind in the Holy Ghost, the mind of Christ. So here it is, Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things in 2016 in thy word. Open my mind. Open my eyes that I might behold. One, those of you that have had a dull spiritual mind, Hebrews 5 said you become dull. And it might be a dullness that you inherited in the natural. God set you free from that. Minds that grasp quickly, clearly. That you can connect the dots. You can see the end from the beginning. How many of you want to see the kingdom this year? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Mary, do you have something? Yes. Yes. Oh. Mary's probably the smartest one in this whole room. And she said, oh, touch my mind. I guess there's levels, right? We can go from faith to faith. We can go from strength to strength. We can go from grace to grace. We can go from glory to glory. What if that this really is God today at the river, that I wasn't supposed to preach as we do almost every week and have this? What if the Holy Spirit has been waiting for this moment for tender hearts, willing minds, and spirits submitted to where He can flood and fill us? Lord, I'm going to read this scripture and you're going to do it. Holy Spirit, you're going to do this right now. This is if there's one verse in the Bible a pastor could ever want to have true for his congregation, this is it. You ready for it?
Yep.
Ephesians 3. I'm going to read four verses. May Christ dwell. May Christ, through your faith, church family, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make His permanent home in your hearts today. May you be rooted deeply in love and founded securely on love. That's what we were talking about. How you're going to defeat racism is the love of God. Lift your hands and receive that right now. We are loving, rooted deeply in love. We're not offended at this. At the river, you don't get offended. Because if you're getting offended, most likely that's Adam trying to take control of you. I'm going to say that again. If you're going to be offended, that's Adam taking control of you. Most of the time. And it says that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp this mind of opened up, eyes opened up to grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, all the dimensions of the kingdom and of Christ, the inheritance that is ours? Right here, you ready? This is going to happen right now. That you, River family, may really come to know practically, everybody say practically, through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That here it is, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Lift your hands and let's thank God for that right now. Oh, we thank you and praise you. Somebody believe that word, then cry out and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that our minds and our bodies are possessed by you, not the devil, not Adam, not this world, but they are possessed by you. In Jesus' name. How many of you have a part of your life you'd say has been feeble? Let me see your hand. Feeble. All over here, feeble? A little bit in the natural? A little bit? You guys are the more spiritual ones over here. You'd say there's an area that's... Okay, here... I want you to look every day at that feebleness and call things to be not as though they are. I want you to look at that feebleness that you would say, man, I've been cursed with this feebleness. I'm just weighed down with this area. I want you to mock it. And then I want you to speak the life of God into it and say, no, devil. I've been created under... I am being created to be a praise unto His glorious grace. And I say that that area of my life is a praise to God. He brought His people out with gold and silver, and not one feeble was among them. When God does something and His Spirit moves, He creates strength, stability, security, wholeness, soundness. Shalom, shalom, shalom. This is good news today. Squeeze the hand of your neighbor and tell them you're standing with them. Shalom to you today. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. From this side, who's gonna go serve Jesus and be a flaming torch this week? Okay, what I want to hear is I will. But I'd like to hear it one at a time. Over here. So what, keep going. I will. We will. Even we got the sound booth now. God really did touch the service today. His presence made it all the way back into the sound booth. Amen. Give someone a hug and then... Oh. We have a song. We have a song. Let's sing together, church. You can stay at the altar. Let's sing. Church family, let's sing this together. Oh, we want more. love you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, as we leave here today, thank you for baptizing this church afresh in the Holy Ghost and fire. Thank you today for your love shed abroad in our hearts. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And everybody said, Amen. Let's go have fellowship outside.